afternoon. There you go, it's more like it. Couple of, last time I was here, last Sunday, 4 weeks ago, the baby was born that night. Remember I told you? Right, okay, so today, he's officially 4 months old, the grandbaby.
4 weeks.
4 weeks, what did I say? 4 weeks. 4 weeks, boy, you're paying attention. Because I just started, you haven't fallen asleep yet. Yeah, so 4 weeks old, I'm still excited, you know, grandpa and all that kind of stuff. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a grandfather, not a father. I'm too old to be having my own little babies. So grandfather, yes, evidenced by glasses and such. A couple of weeks ago, we had Vacation Bible School, and we had a record number of kids without even advertising. We had been praying very intensely for it, and much to our surprise, we had so many kids come, we had to stop registration. And normally we tell the children to bring a friend, we'll give you a prize if you bring a friend. And this time we didn't do that at all because we were packed. And we were able to see a few of them repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of their soul. So we were so excited about that. Also in the IBF conference, a young lady came to know the Lord. Did you know that? You were there, right? You were there? Yes, a young lady came to know the Lord. She's in her, like I think 21 or 22, right around there. So she came to know Christ as her Savior, so praise the Lord. He's been answering prayers. I know that me and a group of men who hang out with me in Cleveland have decided to come to the Lord and really cry out for souls and really plead and be in intense prayer for that. And God does hear that prayer, does he not? Yes, amen. Okay, good. All right, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And also, thank you so much for praying for us. We'll be leaving Friday morning to Mexico, and we'll be doing mainly evangelism. All the doctors wimped out on me, so we had to do just evangelism this time. All right, and what else did I want to tell you? I think that's about it. All right, well, speaking of Mexico, the one thing that I've never appreciated too much when we go over there is that their facilities aren't up to date like they are here, right? So the toilets are always a mess. And for some reason, they don't put toilet seats on them. And they're never flushed right. And their water, they always run out of water. And they have a lot of other things that are like, you know, it's like, oh my word, what's wrong with you people? But it's so nice to come back to U.S. and have all the modern conveniences, right? They're kind of nice, because even though Mexico's so close to U.S., they're still, I think, considered third world. And just live there for a while, and you know what we mean by that, right? Okay, but you have to admit with me that modern medicine has really come a long way. I had two uncles die back in the 30s and 40s, because there was no medicine around, and they just had common like fevers and stuff that today you could easily fix. But back then they didn't have it, and both of my uncles passed away. They were young, right? So praise the Lord for modern medicine, and we have buildings and we have jets. Now when I fly to visit my family, I can get there in 3.5 hours instead of 2 days of driving. And so, you know, we have all these conveniences. We have computers and we have these buildings. And you have to admit, man is very intelligent and capable of doing so much. And they're still constantly inventing and doing it. And medicine is finding new solutions, new answers to diseases and such. And there are just so many things going on. It's pretty amazing, right? Now, man, with that in mind, we're going to read here a text, and I want you to see what God thinks about that, all right? So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. We're going to read all the way through chapter 2 and verse 5. So be patient, but it's never wrong to read God's word, right? Amen? And God always speaks to us through his word. All right, and so I'm also still trying to get used to reading with glasses, and it kind of sometimes distorts me, so if I don't read too smoothly, I blame it on the glasses. Not of my education. Okay, let's start to read. For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing, foolishness. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for a sign, and Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brethren, that you were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen. The things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are, that no man should boast before God. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That, just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Wow. Isn't that a powerful section of the Word of God? Man indeed thinks he's wise, but God says man is not wise, because if they were wise, they would turn to Jesus Christ for the salvation of their soul. Amen? Would they not? All right, so man says he's wise, but has he learned wisdom? And how do we learn wisdom? Through observation. And I want you to turn, I know we're reading out of the Bible, let's go ahead real quick. Go to Proverbs chapter 1, and I want you to notice how God speaks to men and how God's wisdom goes out everywhere. So if you go to Proverbs chapter 1, and I want you to notice verse 20 and 22. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her saying, how long, O naive ones, will you love simplicity? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. You notice what the Bible says, how long? How long, as you observe people, and the choices that they make, and the consequences of their choices. So you notice there in the text that it said, the open square, the streets, the noisy streets, the entrance to the city. But what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, where do we see life unfolding? Don't we go to a corner and we see people walking around? And when you see people, what do you see? You see all kinds of pain, all kinds of hurt. You see all kinds of broken relationships and problems. You see all kinds of decisions being made. That's where you see what life's about, right? And so the Bible says, wisdom, God, is speaking to men in the streets, in the corners. Everywhere they go, God is speaking. Now, are they listening? That's the question. Chapter 8 of Proverbs, the Bible says again, wisdom lifts her voice. She cries out in the streets. So God is speaking outside of the church walls, in other words. His wisdom is not confined to church or to Bible studies. His wisdom is not limited to religion. All right? So His wisdom is all over the place, everywhere where life is lived out. And I want you to notice that God addressed three people in specific, three classes of people, when He says, how long? And I want you to notice also a downward spiral. First of all, He says naive ones. What's a naive one? It's the simple ones. Those who are ignorant, are gullible, or easily influenced. Now, as we go to a street corner, as we go to a neighborhood, and we watch people, you're going to see, and you probably already have observed, there's some people that are very ignorant, they're very gullible and easily influenced. Right? And then as you go to the streets also, you live life out at work and in different places, you're going to notice that there's scorners and mockers. That is, those who commit more serious, determined acts that they treat with contempt. Here's what they do. They laugh at God's word and holy living. Where do you see that? You see it everywhere, don't you? That's right. You see it all over the place. And the Proverbs 14:9 says this. Fools mock at sin. Fools, they laugh at sin. They think it's funny. And then, so we go from naive ones to scorners and mockers to fools. What's a fool? Fool is an obstinate unbeliever. One who will not listen to truth. And here's what the Bible has to say to a fool. Psalm 14:1, just listen. A fool says in his heart, there is no God. It's someone who considers the facts and decides to reject God. Well, you know that every one of us, because God created us, know that there's a God. But a fool listens to other people and other philosophies, reads other books outside of the Bible, and determines in his heart there's not a God. Well, the Bible calls that person a fool. Okay, now, with all of the knowledge that men have, all the capacity that he has, why can't man come up with a solution to the problems of this world? That's my question. Why is there more war than ever? Why is there more crime than ever? Why are families in a mess? Why are there new diseases and with no cures? Oh, by the way, how do you cure loneliness? Where's the solution to that? Where's man's wisdom? Why can't he fix it? The United Nations, they can't come up with a solution to the world's problems. And so where's their wisdom to correct all the issues going on? Why can't they stop people from dying? Why can't they stop ethnic genocide? Right? So where's the solutions to the problems, for example, with women? You know, women still are throughout the world are saying they're treated very badly. Many religions treat them terribly. Many cultures treat them like if they have no value. So what's the solution to this? What about racism? What's the answer? What's the answer to racism? What about world peace? Why hasn't anybody been able to fix it? What about homosexuality and HIV disease and crime and hate and divorce and abandonment and sexual abuse and violations and suffering? What's the answer to all of this? If man is so wise, why hasn't he fixed it? So I want you to listen real quick. Everybody focus for a minute. I want you to hear the wisdom of God. You ready? I'm going to say it in a sentence. I wanted to put it up in a PowerPoint to be seen, but I forgot to do it, honestly, but listen. Here's God's wisdom to fix all of this, all right? Jesus Christ is God's Son, born of a virgin, crucified, buried, raised from the dead, returned to heaven, returning to earth to fix all the mess that men have made, and whoever believes in Him will have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Well, I don't know. You think, what? How is that the answer to the world's problems? Well, that's what God says. That's His wisdom. I'm going to read it again. Here's God's wisdom. Jesus Christ is God's Son, born of a virgin, crucified, buried, raised from the dead. He returned to heaven, and He's returning to earth to fix all the mess that the men have made. And whoever believes in Him will be forgiven and given eternal life. That is God's solution to all of the problems of the world. How do you like that?
Hallelujah.
Does that make sense to you? And so what do we read in the text in 1 Corinthians? The Jew says, what? That doesn't make any sense. We want a sign. I want God to send fire from heaven. And then you know, that, and I want Him to just fix everything like that. And so God says, well, I'm not going to give you a sign or some kind of a funny miracle. And the Gentiles, that is anybody who's not a Jew, they come up with all kinds of philosophies. And so they sit there and they go to school and they read their books and they listen to their own reasoning. But they haven't fixed a thing, have they? And so humanism says, we can figure it out. We don't need God. And let's just be religious and let's just do good. But it hasn't fixed anything, has it? And so 1 Corinthians 1:18 is God's answer. And here it is. I'm going to read to you again. For the word of the cross to those who are perishing is foolishness. But to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles, anybody who's not a Jew, Arabs and everybody else, foolishness. Foolishness. But, verse 24, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. But you like that, but that's ridiculous. How in the world is that going to fix world problems? That's God's answer. That's God's answer. Jesus Christ. Alright? Let's put it this way. Here's what the Bible has taught in regards to women. It says this: to honor the women and respect them and treat them with love. That was never before heard of. But God wrote in His Word. It's all over the Bible. Where the world treats women like trash, the Bible says, no, we're going to honor and respect the women. Amen? Right? And so the Bible tells me, honor your wife. Respect her. Treat her with love. Understand her. And so where do we get that from? From the Bible, from God's wisdom. What about racism? God says, there's no such thing as race. We all bleed the same way. Listen, believe me. If I start to bleed right now and I need blood, I'm going to get Brother Cross over here, Mr. White Man over here, and his blood will fix me. Right?
Amen.
It doesn't matter what color your skin is, because God says there's no such thing as race in the Bible. Race is something made up by the world. Right? We're created from Adam and Eve. There's no such thing as race. What about world peace? The Bible says Jesus is going to return to fix the world's problems, right? He's going to fix it. There's going to be peace all over the world when He reigns on the earth. But you can have peace now if you trust Him. What about AIDS? What's the answer? Well, the Bible says abstain from sexual immorality. Guess what? If you abstain, there won't be any such thing as all these sexual diseases. What about marriage? The Bible says that you are to commit for life to one person and only to them. And again, that'll fix a lot of the issues that are going on in marriage, all the divorces that go on, all the broken homes. How do you fix it? Just listen to God's wisdom and don't be unfaithful. Right? That's God's wisdom. All right, now, I'm going to give you an example about how people respond to the wisdom of God. I turned on the TV and they were having this a town meeting on TV, right? And so everybody came from the town to the meeting, and they had the counselor there who represented the town, and they were trying to come up with a solution with the AIDS problem. Alright? And so they were going back and forth, how can we fix this AIDS problem and these sexual diseases? And here's what the senator and his wife told the audience. They said this: if you marry one person and stay with them for life, That would fix the HIV problem and the AIDS problem, and that would fix many sexual diseases. Is that true? Yeah. Doctor, is that true? All right. You know what the audience did? They were like, shut up! And they got angry. They started yelling. Boo! They were going like that. Because God, they didn't want to hear God's answer. See, that's what the Bible is saying. The wisdom of man is totally different from the wisdom of God. God's wisdom is just don't do that and you won't have those issues. But we don't believe God. And so I was amazed at the people who were just spurning God and rejecting what the senator and his wife had to say. What's the answer to abortion? Well, we respect life, right? The Bible says you should not take the life of another person. And so we don't believe in that. And what about crime? Ephesians 4, steal no more. Stop lying. Work hard. Be responsible. That's all in the Bible. That's God's wisdom. And we know that the family, God's idea of a family, and to have world peace was this. Have a family, be married to one wife for life, raise godly children. Children, obey your parents, respect them, and honor them. That's God's wisdom. And so, it seems so simple. And yet, man, the world rejects God's wisdom. God's wisdom will stop crime, will stop anger, will stop violence, will stop hatred, will stop racism, and many diseases throughout the world. That's what God's wisdom will do. So what is God's wisdom? Let's put it in one sentence. Christ is God's wisdom and power. That's what the Bible says. When you repent and turn to Jesus, you begin to apply these principles to your life, and that's God's answer. But that seems so simple. Come on, let's invent something. We've invented rockets. We can go to the moon. We have all these machines that are all over the planet taking pictures. Why does it have to be that way? There's a song that says, at the cross, I find peace at the cross. I find love at the cross. I find forgiveness at the cross. But the Bible says they stumble. They say, nonsense. Nonsense. How can a crucified man be the answer to life's problems? So the Gentiles, they come up with all kinds of philosophies like this. Well, we need to have pleasure. That's the answer. Let's just indulge in all kinds of pleasures. Well, we know that the results of that, right? Oh, and then we have another extreme from the Gentiles. They say, what about asceticism? Let's go live in a cave and separate ourselves from everything and meditate. Maybe that'll fix it. Huh? No, that doesn't do anything. Because those men that live in a cave turn homosexual. And then diseases come. That doesn't fix it. That doesn't fix it. And so what about self-denial? What about some kind of a spiritual experience? What about if I get powerful and I get fame? What is going to fix the issue? And so today we're bombarded with all kinds of people giving advice. Talk shows, psychics, psychologists. And people are listening to all these things and they are not finding any answer to their problems. Because they're not turning to the answer that God has. Oversimplistic and silly? All right, call it that if you want. But God's answer is this. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. We have no medicine, no hypnosis. We have nothing else to tell you, but the cross will fix the problem. And so come on, all you atheists who deny the word of God, come up with a solution for the lack of peace in your life. How can you fill the emptiness in your heart? And come on, you wise man, with all your scholarships and your philosophies and your extended knowledge, how can you stop death or war or domestic violence? Or how can you make your own children love you? What about the poor man who thinks that if he gets some of the stuff that the rich and famous have, that they'll stop striving for love? They'll stop grasping for contentment if they can only gain what they have. Only to find out that they're just as empty if they do get those things. So here's what Colossians says. Turn with me there real quick to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. It's there in the Bible. Turn a few pages over and notice what the Bible says. Colossians 2 and verse 9. I'm sorry, verse 3. In whom are hidden, that is in Jesus Christ. You can look at 2:2 and it says Jesus Christ. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And I say this in order that no one may delude you with persuasive arguments. In Jesus Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's found in the person of Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 2 and verse 9. For in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. In other words, in Jesus Christ, even though He was a man, He was fully God. That's what that's saying. All of deity was in the person of Jesus Christ and still is. He's fully God and fully man. And notice what it says in verse 10. And in Him, in Jesus, you have been made complete. And He is the head over all rule and all authority. So in other words, in Jesus Christ, I am a complete as a person. As a person. So, He has made me complete in the sense that I am no longer looking for love. I no longer feel lonely or empty or sad. I'm no longer worried what's going to happen to me when I die. I'm not an emotional mess because Jesus has made me a complete person. And so Jesus not only forgives your sin, but He gives you a complete life in that you're no longer dependent on medicines that so many people, you don't have to take drugs to cover up the pain of the emotion of life. He takes the anger out of your heart. He takes the other hurt out of your life, and He makes you a complete person. And only Jesus Christ can do that. Amen?
That's right.
And so people continue searching and looking. So where are you looking to find completeness in your life and direction? Where do you get wisdom for life? God's wisdom and power are in Jesus Christ. He has the power to save, to change you, to free you, to forgive you, to heal you, to make you new, to make you a whole person, and He will put meaning in your life. Have you turned to Him? Have you turned to Him? Such a simple answer to all of life's problems. And to the world, it seems almost ridiculous. And yet this is the wisdom of God. And I want to just close out because my time is pretty much up. 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 2 and verse 5. And I want to just close with this thought. That your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. So your faith may not rest in the wisdom of men. What is the wisdom of man? Well, they're still trying to figure it out, aren't they? They're still trying to figure it out. But the wisdom of God is repent of your sin, believe in Jesus Christ, that He died for you on that cross to pay for your sin, that He was buried, that He rose from the dead, and that He's alive, and He'll forgive you if you trust Him, and He'll make you a complete person. That's the wisdom of God. That's the wisdom of God. Have you turned to Christ? Why don't you do it now, today? Why don't you say, you know, Lord, I've looked everywhere. I've tried sinning. I've tried drinking. I tried religion. I tried all kinds of stuff. But I want to try your wisdom. And your wisdom is in Jesus Christ. You want to know more? I would love to talk to you about Him. Father, thank You for Your word. And thank You for Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and risen again. Fully God and fully man. The answer to the world's problems. I pray that if there's a person here who has yet to turn to You, that even now, by faith, they would believe You and take You as their Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.